Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And welcome back to the Saturday Sin Bin for our mates at King G. Plenty of rugby league to go in this show today. A little bit of fun and some serious talk as well with Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis, Maroon here as well. Our number is 133353, which you can get in touch with us any time. Our next guest is rugby league royalty. Almost 200 games for the mighty Balmain Tigers and, of course, one of the most successful coaches in New South Wales origin history. Great bloke he is too. Glad to have him on this afternoon. Wayne Jr. Pierce. Welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin, old mate.
Hey, Maroon, good to be on board, mate.
Hey, listen, mate, what are you doing to keep yourself fit while all the gyms are closed? Let's get straight to the hard questions, the nitty-gritty.
Well, actually, last probably 5-6 years, I've taken up kayaking on the harbour. So I get out there, went out this morning for about an hour and a half. It was beautiful. So that's my exercise. So it helps when you've got dodgy knees, just get do something where you're not running or walking.
Did you know that Anthony's a big fan of the Stairmaster, Junior?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, have a look at him, I should know, because he's an athlete, as you can see.
Well, have you ever seen his calves? This just leaves no question in doubt once you see the calves. He's a very...
And my buns too, Piercy.
He owns the Buns of Steel video.
I guess
the old VHS.
He's got good buns for radio.
Oh, yes.
Wayne, on a much more serious note, obviously that meeting, very important on Thursday with Project Apollo. But then in the aftermath, we've had some conflicting reports. We had the Deputy Premier come out on Wednesday, John Barilaro, and say that rugby league was the tonic that we needed to help people get through this coronavirus and we needed to pick people's spirits up. But then in the last 24 hours, we've had the New South Wales Health Minister and also the Deputy Chief Medical Officer come out and question still playing the game. So from an NRL point of view, what's your response to that?
Well, you know, we are going through a rigorous process of looking at protocols that are going to keep our players as safe as possible and the community as safe as possible. We'll certainly be implementing measures that are stricter than what any of the current industries that are still operating, such as the factories, mining, construction sites, this sort of stuff. And bear in mind that they are all still operating. No one's complaining about them. And there's the other statement I've heard is that the government authorities are saying they haven't had a request or haven't given permission for us to play. I've got a document in front of me signed by the head of the State Emergency Operations Centre saying that we are authorised to play provided we adhere to the government guidelines and are playing in outdoor venues, which we will be. And so, I mean, to that end, you know, there's, I think the couple of the government officials that may be busy and obviously they've authorised us to play and maybe they've got so much on their mind they can't remember, but it's certainly something that we were approved to do, provided we adhere to the public health guidelines.
Junior, what do you say to all the people? And to be honest, they irritate me, but I want to know what you say to the people who attack rugby league for having the arrogance to think that they should be getting up and playing again. And people are saying, how dare they not think they're above what everyone else is doing and not trying to isolate like everyone else is doing. And all these critics that are coming in trying to actually stop rugby league from getting up again. What do you say to them?
Well, for me, when something goes wrong, when you get a setback, there's two types of people. There's people that sit in the passenger seat and we expect someone else to take control, or there's those people that decide to get in the driver's seat and control what they can control. And what we have decided to do as a code is to control what we can control. And that's a whole lot of factors in terms of protocols that we can put in place that will allow us to minimize the risk of infection and get the game back on track. I mean, someone's got to take a lead in this space, and as a code, we've decided to do that. People are saying, well, hang on, other sports around the world aren't playing. Yeah, but we're very fortunate that we're in a country that's isolated by water. And, you know, when you look at the other
countries... And it's much more urban spread too, so we're not as densely packed as a population as, well, say, Italy is.
Correct. And the other countries that are sporting mad countries around the world, America, Europe, England, you know, they've got really high rates of infection still. So they're not as in a position that we're in, where when we postponed the game, or sorry, when we postponed the competition on the advice of an epidemiologist, the infection rate was 23% on a daily increase. You know, so it was quite high compared to what it is now, which is around about or under 2% daily increase. So the circumstances have changed significantly. There's a whole lot of people out there, naysayers, that don't look at the facts. They let the frenzy take over and cloud their thinking. What we are doing is we're dealing with the facts, and the facts are that there are a lot of stuff that we can control. We've got permission from the government to restart the game, provided we adhere to public health guidelines, and we will be putting in a whole lot of protocols that are going to allow us to, on the advice of experts, that allow us to give to minimise the risk to our players and to the community.
Hey, Junior, that's all the sort of hurdles with the government, mate. What about some of the clubs and the players? Do you think that they'll jump on board?
Universally, the feedback to me is that the clubs and players want to get out there. And when you look at it, Gordy, mate, it's not just about broadcast rights. It's not just about players wanting to get back out there. There are thousands and thousands of people that are on the unemployment queues at the moment because the rugby league competition is not being run. I drove up about 10 days ago. I drove up towards the NRL and went up Crown Street, and there was a queue 150 metres long outside of the Centrelink office up there. And, you know, that's the sort of impact that we can have in terms of, you know, we want to take a leading role in this space. We want to show that we can turn the corner in terms of the economy if people are prepared to be proactive in a safe manner.
And that's the issue too, isn't it, Junior? Is the country is shut down economically, and rugby league's got the opportunity here to get going and get people employed again, and then there are wider benefits to that. And yet we still see these people who are complaining about rugby league players, and they're tackling each other and they're coming into contact with each other, when in fact such will the protocols be that the players will be more at risk going down to the supermarket buying groceries than they will be in the stadium playing football against each other.
You're 100% right, Kenny. I mean, we're taking advice from experts. One of the experts we're taking advice from is a chemical and biological hazards expert, okay? Consults to the Army, consults to the Fire Brigade, and he uses the language of talking about safe zones, he talks about dirty zones, and he talks about transition zones. And what we're all about is how do we create the best safe zone? If someone's going to come from a dirty zone, which is basically the broader community, into that safe zone, they've got to go through a transition zone before they can get into that space. That's the sort of detail that we're going to. The reason we haven't announced any of that detail yet is because there's a whole lot of streams of work that are being undertaken at the moment. It's been ongoing since first meeting that we had of Wednesday of last week. There are 10 work streams that are running simultaneously, and hopefully we can get those to converge in the next 10 days, so we'll have a lot more clarity about what we're going to do going forward and how we're going to put everything into place going forward. But we're definitely focused on a May 28 start. There's a fair bit of crystal ball, I suppose, work gone into that in terms of there's so many moving parts, but we believe that's doable and we can execute on that.
Wayne, it's important to point out for our listeners as well, you're not just speaking as one of the commissioners and the head of Project Apollo, but, you know, your young bloke is also one of the stars of the game. So just give us, from a parent's point of view as well, how do you feel about your son getting back out there and having a crack back on the footy field?
The thing is, the players are in a position where, you know, they want certainty around when they're going to start, because the players in any professional sport, players are very regimented around their training, around their daily routines, and they want to know how they can when are we going to start so we can program ourselves around our training? Excuse me. So built into that is a psychological well-being piece that is something that a lot of players struggle with if they don't have that routine. So the players are really keen to get back out there. I've had a lot of contact with players that, and universally they're all saying, yeah, we want to get back out there and as sooner the better.
Wayne, pardon me, mate, what about all this talk about us being full speed ahead to get started on May 28, which is great. I've had this chat with the boys this morning about, you know, when this all started, we talked about going into November, late November, early December. Couldn't we go a little bit further in than sort of mid-October?
Well, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at options, all the different options, and there's pros and cons for all the different options. So hence the reason why we've got multiple work streams happening. So, yes, there are options for going deeper into the back end of the year, but there's pros and cons for that as well.
What are they, Junior?
In terms of...
Well, what are the cons, playing through to December?
The cons are that it could impact on the start of next year's season in terms of preparation and the quality of football for next year. There's also some concerns from broadcasters as to what best suits them. Bear in mind that, you know, we are in the entertainment industry. You know, not just a sport, we're actually in the entertainment industry. So we've got to factor that in as well. So they're the two primary challenges. The other one is obviously the heat. The hotter it gets, the further we get back down into December, and that affects player well-being as well. So there's a few cons, but there are some pros for sure.
What about financially, though? Wouldn't it be more financially beneficial to the NRL to play more games, to say to the players, we will play through to December. You guys are going to have to suck it up here. We'll obviously make them all night games. Probably won't be any afternoon games. But we will play through to December. You'll be playing all the way through spring. But you're going to generate more income because there'll be more rounds of football to say to the broadcasters, you need to pay for that.
Well, if you look at it superficially, you can say, yeah, that's the case. But as far as the broadcasters are concerned, more is not necessarily better. It may be in some cases, right, but more is not necessarily better depending on what their programming schedules are like, depending on what their needs are as well.
So what do you anticipate will happen this week when the NRL and Channel 9 sit down and have a discussion? Do you have an idea of what 9 are after? And do you think at the end of it, what deal do you think will be made to give us what the competition will look like?
No, I mean, Kenny, I don't know. My role in Project Apollo is to get the game back up and running on the field. So, I mean, I'm not involved in any discussions around the broadcasters as such. So, Mark, I can't answer that question.
That's disappointing.
All right, Junior.
besides, I haven't got a crystal ball, as I said earlier.
Hey, Junior, just give us an insight. You know, there was some very heavy commentary targeted at the NRL from Channel 9 Thursday while that Project Apollo meeting was actually going on. Did word of that get inside the room when that news broke, or give us an insight as to how all that went down?
We had a bit of a toilet break at one point during the meeting, and word was shared then that there was some commentary from Channel 9 that wasn't too kind, but that was it, and then we continued the meeting.
Oh yeah, can you tell us what Todd's face looked like when he heard it?
To be honest, I can't recall exactly what his face looked like. So.
Very diplomatic.
Good on you, Junior. Good to catch up, mate.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys, and thanks for your support of Project Apollo, because now we want to get the game up and running as soon as possible. I know there's plenty of supporters that are listening to you guys that want the game up and running as soon as possible. But bear in mind, we're not reckless in getting the game up and running. We're very cautious, and we'll be covering all the bases and making sure we dot the I's and cross the T's.
Good on you, Junior. Good to catch up, mate. All the best for Easter.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Wayne Pearce joining us on the Saturday Sin Bin here at Triple M. Thanks to King G. Paul.